Chapter 1. Those gathered for the dedication of the tomb were the relatives and closest friends of the deceased, men of station. Naturally, this included Aulus's childhood companion, Lucius Valerius Nerva, one of the two reigning censors and at present the most powerful senator in Rome. While most stood about heads bowed, he looked about him with an air that bordered on the impious, as if examining each attendee to measure the depth and honesty of their respect, by his actions implying to Titus Cornelius, even if he did not intend it, that he was himself lacking in that attribute. A thin man with narrow features and thinning hair, the ex-consul was feared as much as he was respected. He had been Aulus's friend since the time both learnt to talk. And on the rare occasions when Titus's father had mentioned the man, it had always been with admiration for his abilities as an administrator, with reservations regarding his use of the power he wielded in the Senate. As the hazel eyes swung onto the window, the Falerii face took on an expression of mild disdain. Claudia Cornelia, unable to see out of the side of her cowl, did not observe the look, but Titus did. Lucius had never quite accepted the second marriage of Aulus Cornelius, seeing it as a piece of gross foolishness that a man nearing 40, and as famous and wealthy as Macedonicus, should wed a slip of a girl who, at the nuptials, was a mere 16. Titus had been 12 at the time of the marriage, but you could not move in a Roman street without seeing the lubricious graffiti or hearing the ribald comments of the lower classes regarding the match. The views of his father's peers were passed on as jokes to Titus by his gleeful contemporaries as they practiced martial arts in the campus martius. Observing Lucius now, Titus saw a dry stick of a man who looked and acted as though sensual passion was something alien to his nature. Hard to believe he had fathered a son of his own. Yet, he had not been alone. Quintus had been dead set against the betrothal and had let his younger brother know just how much he resented the replacement of his late mother by a girl younger than he, who he saw as a non-entity looking to bask in his father's fame and fortune. Lucius eventually looked from Claudia to Titus, the expression turning to a thin smile, tempered with a hint of curiosity, as if the older man was saying, "I know who you are, but what are you like?" The stare was returned in a direct way that had the censor dropping his head into a reverential pose. This, as Quintus began the prayers to Jupiter and Juno, the premier god and goddess of the Roman pantheon. Titus, with a silent plea to Onos, god of chivalry, honour and military justice, looked up at the death masks of his ancestors, lit from below by flickering oil lamps, with his father's the most prominent, in a line that stretched back hundreds of years. He felt a surge of pride, for in his world the family was everything, the means by which a man achieved immortality. And he prayed next to the goddess of the future, Antivorte, that one day his own deeds would elevate the Corneli name, and that when his descendants said prayers at this very altar before the mask of his own likeness, they would do so in the same spirit that he did so now. The first ceremony was over quickly, and the party, led by Quintus, moved out into the atrium. Gathered there were those who had come to pay their respects, but who were not of the Corneli blood, or close enough for inclusion in the private family prayers. Cholompiliades stood off to one side in the line of the family slaves. He had been close to Aulus, even closer than Claudia, having served him as a body slave in Greece, Spain, here in Rome, and in Illyricum. The Greek had been sent away from the debacle at Thralaxis by his master, given a codicil to the Corneli will that would be read out that evening, a duty that had saved his life. Given how bound he had been to the man whose death they were commemorating, it was disappointing that Quintus had not seen fit to allow Cholon to attend the private ceremony at the family altar.